Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. We're just going to get straight into it. Shout out to Sarah Tiana, our producer, who is at the World Series right now. Go Braves, obviously. Fuck anyone from Texas. I think that's very important to start out. If we have any listeners in Texas, it was you specifically I was just saying fuck off to. Thank you for listening, guys. Welcome back. Today we got Jason Coelho.
That's close enough. You can.
I'm a very white guy from Kansas, so it's hard for me to do an accent. How would you pronounce your last name?
I don't know how to speak Portuguese, so even I would have trouble, but I would just say Coelho.
That's pretty sweet.
Yep.
That's a good sounding accent you have. Now, you're from South Africa?
Yes.
Okay. And when did you come to the States, or do you not live here?
No, I live here. This is home. I did my citizenship test with the flag and all that fun
nice.
Stuff, but I moved here about 2009.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how old were you when you left?
So I'm 35 now. What's the math on that? I was like in my 21, 22, 22, 23.
Young 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And what made you want to come to America?
It was sort of thrown out there. My stepfather traveled a lot for work, and there was an opportunity to come over here.
Right.
To work for an American company, and then they support family, so they just, everybody got a green card.
They brought everyone.
Yeah. So he left with my mom, and they were here for 2 years, and then I finished college, and I moved over.
Okay.
But it was like that or going to Prague or a different city that we weren't super comfortable going to, yeah.
Right. And in South Africa, do people have issues with their step-parents the same way they do here in the States?
Not mine. I have a cool stepfather.
Your stepdad's cool?
He's cool, yeah. He's like Gordon Ramsay and Chandler in one.
Who's Chandler?
Chandler from Friends.
Oh,
so
okay.
That type of character and the Gordon Ramsay character kind of mushed together.
That's exciting.
It's like a cool.
Yeah, because my first thought was like Chandler from Friends, and I'm like, there's no way that's who he's talking about, but it is. So Chandler, he's worldwide kind of.
Oh yeah.
Everyone knows Chandler.
Everybody.
That's pretty exciting. And when you say he's like Gordon Ramsay, that makes me think he is kind of an asshole, but in an amusing way.
Yeah, and also just. He's a funny guy, but he's pretty stern. Like
right.
A straight businessman, but then he has jokes.
How old were you when he became your stepfather?
This was, I guess you would say middle school here in the States.
That's a tough age to get a stepfather.
Yeah.
Did you hate him at that point?
No, we just didn't really know what to do. My sister and I, we were pretty young, and my dad wasn't really around anyway. He was
right.
Playing golf or...
Did you say he was playing golf?
Yeah, just not present. Like, he just wasn't there. So it wasn't really...
So American.
That difficult of a transition.
The transition was just like, well, now there is a guy.
Oh, yeah, there's a dude now. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool.
It worked out for the best. Because of that move, I came here.
Right.
I've had some cool jobs. I've been to a ton of American cities, and that was all for work travel. So
right.
I feel pretty lucky.
Here's the thing for me. I've traveled a lot in America as well, and... I found that most of the places are not worth going to. As a foreigner, I know it seems weird to openly discuss that, but how many places did you actually find to be cool in America?
Well, I went to every city that had a mall, basically. So it wasn't
like, a lot of them.
Yeah, so it wasn't.
So you saw a lot of malls.
I saw a lot of malls because my job was sort of that.
Right.
So I've been to a lot of cities, Canadian and American cities, where there was just like shopping.
Canadians, huh?
Shopping.
Their malls are the same as ours, I assume.
Yeah.
The fact that you're going to malls in the last 10 years
mm-hmm.
is exciting. I feel like you're getting the experience
next
of America
level.
In the 1900s.
100%.
You work for an Italian company now.
Mm-hmm.
As a cashmere slave, is that correct?
Yeah, I thought that was funny, and at least it got your attention.
Yeah,
but no,
did.
I mean,
I saw it. I'm like, we're really pushing some limits here, and I'm into it.
Yes.
What does that mean? What's it? Sell cashmere?
I fold it more than anything.
You fold it?
Yeah, I'm putting it on mannequins. I'm putting it in a window.
I see.
Making stores look nice.
What do you do specifically?
Merchandising.
you're a merchandising man for a company, that, like a specific store in malls, or how does that work?
It's a brand, and some malls, some freestanding.
Right. All right. What's the coolest city you've been to? Obviously, New York and L.A. Or
I really enjoyed Atlanta, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I liked Atlanta. I thought it was a lot of fun. People were cool. Chicago's fun.
Sure. I love Chicago. Chicago's a great place. I haven't been in about 10 years, but when I last time I went, it was the last time I almost got into a fist fight. And it wasn't my fault in any way. I just was friends with the wrong people, I guess is the right way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still fun. You know, it was me and a bunch of me, another comedian, and people from a comedy club almost fighting with some random people at a taco restaurant at like 3 a.m. And it ended with me having to talk to the cops for an extended period of time and finding and not giving back the people we were fighting with a cell phone.
You had earned that.
In the end, I feel like we won, even though we didn't do anything with it other than throw it away. But those people ended up way worse than we did.
Fair.
As for Atlanta, all right, city. My grandfather died there, so
that's
I don't want to put it out there that it's a terrible place, but at the same time, he was alive until he went to Atlanta, so it was a stern look. So when you go to these places, how long are you in a city?
Sometimes a week, sometimes okay. Just a day or so, sometimes it's in and out. Not a lot of time. I mean, Vegas. We were just in Vegas for a week, and it's... Vegas is a weird town.
Yeah.
Because I've only ever been there for work.
Okay.
But I never spent like a party weekend there. So you kind of see it from a different perspective.
Yeah. I can't handle Vegas for more than like maybe 3 nights. Once I get beyond that, I start going crazy. There's too much noise.
Oh, we were toast.
Yeah.
After a week of being there, you're like, wake up, go to the store, leave the store, go to a back to the hotel, out to dinner. Back to the hotel. You don't see anything, but all you see is like people in the casinos.
Right. How old are you?
35.
35. Yeah. So when I was in my 20s and I partied, I would go for a couple nights. I didn't really have enough money to stay longer than that, and it was perfect. And then when I got older, last time I went there, I was there for 7 nights. I was there doing comedy. They did a full week of shows. You do a couple shows a night. And that part of it is fine. You know, the crowds are... basically all of America. So you got a pretty good mix of people to kind of make fun of and mess with. But there's so much time during the day where if you don't gamble or party, it's literally just the most annoying place that ever existed.
When you're not in the party mood,
it's
not fun.
No.
Because you see everybody else having fun, winning money. I saw a guy, we would do a full day of work. And I would see that guy, and he came in and, you know, smoking a cigar, doing his thing.
Right.
And then the next day, we came in to do the second day of work, and the same guy was still in the same casino.
Yeah.
He hadn't left.
No.
And I don't think he really knew where he was or what day it was.
Yeah,
sort of
at
just
that point.
Yeah. All over the place.
He's living that Vegas dream.
But Vegas.
For Vegas. From Vegas's perspective, at least, they were just like, this guy's great. He just keeps dishing it out.
Spending money.
Yeah.
And he had money to spend. He was balling, but... to watch that was
it's depravity.
I've worked, left, came back to work again. You're still here.
Yeah. People get depraved. They get so, either they're so celebratory, which is rare, or they're just in such a funk from losing so much money and getting obliterated that it drives me insane. Also, the constant music from the...
everywhere.
All the clubs and out of
every restaurant.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go.
I stayed at a really terrible hotel. I think it was like, I can't remember which one it was now, but Harrah's. I think it was a Harrah's.
Mm-hmm.
It was right in the middle. I don't even know if it's still there. It probably isn't, but they used to have an improv there. And so I was there doing comedy and I checked in. I'm just like, whatever, you know, it's all the same to me. And I went to my hotel room, and when I got there, I'm just like, well, that's annoying. Outside of my window, I was probably like 6th or 7th floor. Outside my window and down, there was a little outdoor music venue that basically played, like, had cover bands play maybe 5 times a day. And so it'd be like an hour of a cover band, and then there'd be 2 hours of in-between time where I found out when I walked into my room, they were playing Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, and I was just like, well, that's super annoying. And then about 3 hours later, another band stopped playing, and then Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch came back on, and that's when I realized that there was just like six songs on a loop. And so for that entire week,
I
heard the same six songs so many times that I was like full on ready to be the next mass shooter in America. Just like, I can't handle this. There's just a lot of CNC Music Factory. It was basically jock jams, which you probably don't know what that is.
But... No, well, that's the thing. It's like, because when we got satellite TV when I was a kid. So then all of a sudden we went from having not that many channels to having all the channels.
Sure.
So we got MTV, but you got MTV that was sort of European, sort of American, because they would, I guess, buy different shows.
Sure.
So you get a ton of American references, excuse me. But some don't make sense until you get here.
Right.
Then like the music you listen to and all the stuff that was popular, we got TRL. But it'd be at a weird time,
right?
I would finish school. It would just be not the same vibe,
right?
But a lot of the references now, and the fact that I'm able to travel and just absorbing all this information,
right? Yeah, my wife grew up abroad. She grew up, like, her younger years, she lived in London, and so a lot of the music she likes is like a decade older, because they still liked like hair metal in the 90s, and so like. Even though she's younger than me, she's like into Bon Jovi and stuff like that. She's like, well, that's what they played on MTV.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, because I would still listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, they were playing all that new metal crap, Limp Bizkit, and it was just a lot of like angry white guy music.
Yeah.
But other than like maybe Guns N' Roses, because they had such epic music videos, there wasn't a lot of that era of music, but... She's like, well, abroad, this is what people listen to. I'm like, oh, okay.
I went to Amsterdam for work, and they specifically play this type of music. And so my colleagues took me to a bar or a club.
Yeah.
And then at a certain time, they let you smoke cigarettes. So you can't smoke, but at a certain time, you're allowed to smoke. So at a bar that plays all these old hits, especially 80s, the 80s music, like trashy... pop music, they love it, and they play it all the time. So it's just funny. It's not the same time, like timeline.
Yeah, the era is.
Like we would get shows like Friends, but we would get it late, so it'd be 3 years behind or three seasons behind. Now everything's pretty much the same.
Yeah. The world has kind of unified with streaming and that kind of thing. But I worked in a post production house that like edited terrible TV commercials. There was like our infomercials was a lot of what they did. There was this really terrible product in America called the ShamWow about 12 years ago. Yeah, you know ShamWow. Everyone knows ShamWow. That's universal. Well, we used to edit the ShamWow and the Slap Chop and all of Crazy Vince's terrible products. And he was a strange human being, but a lot of the work we did there was. Editing together or like compiling shows and videos to send off. And this was before streaming, so it would be like we have to make 12 copies of every episode of some terrible 90s sitcom and then ship them to Bangladesh, because Bangladesh had just purchased the rights to what was the lead singer of Kiss had like a reality show, something Family Values or
Gene Simmons had a reality show?
Yeah, it was a Gene Simmons reality show. And apparently Kiss is huge in a bunch of weird countries. So it'd be like Lithuania just bought the rights to it. Like all these countries were just like, why on earth would they want to watch
it? I think because the price just keeps going down.
It's exactly
so like in America, it costs a fortune. But as it slowly moves through the Western world and goes east, it gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Yeah.
They go, no one in America is buying a five-year-old reality show, but... Sure enough, Estonia is very into it.
Or they'll remake something in their way, and it'll be so bad.
Yeah.
I've seen The Russian Bachelor or Bachelorette.
That's a thing?
Yes.
Tell me more. I'm excited.
No, It's the same, but not understanding any of it is just right. So funny to watch this, what the set looks like and how they interact.
I don't know how it works, but in my mind, Russian Bachelor is a little different. Instead of giving out a rose, they just execute the people who don't get picked. I don't know if I can pitch this idea to Hollywood, but I think if we called it the Russian Bachelor, at least two people get executed every episode.
It's efficient.
We're going to be able to sell this thing, at least in Russia. And, you know, I don't care if it's Russian mob money. I'll take it. Do you have pride in South Africa? Do you love South Africa?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's still my home.
Yeah.
But this is my new home. I grew up there.
Do you have family still there?
I still have family there, yeah. And I go back in December. I haven't been back in a while, but I go back in December.
Nice.
And I get to see, you know, cousins, family, friends, right. The whole thing.
Is your dad still bumming around?
No, my dad is in Portugal. My dad is like he...
Is he Portuguese?
Yeah, he peaced.
He peaced.
He was out, you know.
What do you do when you go back to South Africa? What's on the agenda? What kind of things do you do?
I'll see a lot of family, but it's sort of like calling somebody up, let's go eat.
Right.
And it feels really good because you have American dollars, so it goes real far.
Nice.
It's a 15-to-1 ratio, so you feel
really
much more wealthy than what you are.
That's pretty sweet.
It's a fun time. I think if you go, because now they've opened everything, so booking tickets is tough.
Right.
But I think everybody should go. Like, there's Comedy Fest. We have...
South African Comedy Fest?
Mm-hmm. I think Segura has been.
Okay. He's much more popular than I am.
He's very big, but, yeah. I mean, we have Trevor, and we have Luiso and Riyadh, and there's a whole Netflix sort of... When they did the Around the World thing.
Right.
And then there's a little grouping... of South African comedians, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I'm always amazed. I guess to me it's just such an American thing that I don't realize that there's little subsets in each country of comedians who are doing the same thing, but obviously culturally it's
a different thing. It's like you're tapping into local flavor and people are having a good time. But the American comedian, like stand-up comedy, is a giant export.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, the first time I saw Eddie Murphy Raw was like on a little screen, like a pirated internet thing. And we're like, what is this?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing to see that everywhere in the world, people just like really enjoy it.
People like laughing, I guess that's
But it's sort of, it's the same, but different in every place.
What year are you seeing Eddie Murphy Raw for the first time?
When I'm in high school. So I'm like 16,
early
2000? Yeah, yeah. So when we were listening to Limp Bizkit and all that rage metal, it was the same time I started to see stuff like that.
Yeah, it would be weird.
And we did Pablo Francisco. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Pablo Francisco
was huge for us because he had that joke like, are you Ian? He's like, no, I'm Pablo.
Right.
Like, and we would see that on internet loops all the time.
I love that. That's such a weird, random person to be big in South Africa.
Because I don't know what happened to that guy.
He still does comedy. I know he tours around and stuff. He's doing okay. Mm-hmm. I think someone was telling me that, you know, he's got a nice house. And I think he still just tours is mainly his thing now. But when I was in college, we did... I was a film student because white privilege is real,
mm-hmm.
and we tend to waste time in college on things that you shouldn't go to college for, like film. And I'd have to take night classes because I was in film school at University of Kansas, which obviously thrives in the film industry. And we had this night class, and our professor was this crazy lunatic. He was like a film critic at the local Kansas City newspaper, and he would teach these completely unimportant lessons, but we paid a bunch of money and sat there and listened to him. So one day we're in class, and it's like a pretty big auditorium, probably sat like 200 or 300, and there's like 3 or 4 of them in a row, and they just kept hearing this bass kind of booming from the room next to us. And after like 15 minutes, Professor Tibbetts got mad, and he was like, I'm gonna go take care of that. And he stormed off, and we were all sitting in class just like, it's so funny that he's so mad about it. And then we waited 15 minutes, and then he didn't come back. And then we waited another 5 or 10 minutes, and he didn't come back. So eventually we all just left. And then the next day, on the front of the Daily Kansan, I think it was called, it was the college newspaper, there was an article about how Pablo Francisco was doing a comedy show for Hispanic Heritage Month, and he was performing in the auditorium next to the one we were in, and apparently, in the middle of his act, Professor Tibbetts stormed in and started yelling at him about how he was too loud and that he was trying to teach a class, and it turned into Pablo Francisco just fucking with him a bunch, which is awesome. And eventually he got so frustrated, the professor did, that he just stormed out. Our security basically made him leave, and so he was unable to come back to class as he was trying to explain to the security, I'm a professor and I'm just an asshole, basically. But then for the rest of my life, for the last 20 years, whenever someone talks about Pablo Francisco, all I can think of is how badly I wished I could have been watching him do comedy while Professor Tibbetts made a complete jackass of himself. And the fact that the school newspaper's take on it was not, you know, on the side of the professor, but just like, this guy's an asshole. And so that's when I think of Pablo Francisco, that's basically what I think of. That and the when he used to do the movie voice thing.
Oh, yeah.
The in a world.
Yeah, get down again. Yeah, but we would watch those videos over and over and over and over again. It was so fun.
Yeah. What's a cool or amusing stereotype about South African people? What are you guys known for? Like, Americans, we're known for being fat piles of shit.
What are we known for?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the first thing I think of, obviously, is racism and apartheid. But
yeah.
That's probably not what you, as a South African, I'm like, this represents us.
No, I can't. No, I would never represent my entire nation. No.
Yeah.
But what are we known for? I would say drinking. I mean, I think it's a pretty heavy drinking culture.
Nice.
If you think that it was colonized by the Dutch and
English. Yeah.
The English, yeah, it's just a bunch of fun people, I would say. Like, that is a stereotype that is true, though. People are fun and open and welcoming always.
Yeah.
But they do like to party, for sure.
One of my neighbors is South African, and he's awesome. He's like the best neighbor. He's always having a good time.
Yep.
Every once in a while, I'll see him just ripping, smoking bowls in his garage. And then there was a time where I kept coming in around the same time, and he was always standing in his garage smoking his bowl. And there was like maybe four times in a row where he had the exact same conversation with me because he didn't remember having the conversation.
Yep, yep. And I had a neighbor like that.
I'm like, this is the best. This dude's so great. But he also watches over the whole little neighborhood. So
yeah.
He's the guy where I'm just like, we'll find out. We had fires a couple years ago. I'm like, we'll ask South African Mike. That dude knows what's going on.
Did he come out with no shoes on?
He probably did. I can't even remember. I just remember being like, well, he stayed. The rest of us evacuated. He was like, I'm not going anywhere.
Same accent as mine or not?
It's a little, I think he's been here longer. So some of the things you're saying that I'm like, oh, it's just like South African Mike. And other things, he sounds more American, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, but when I go back home, they're going to make fun of me because my accent has changed. It's
slightly
Americanized, so people understand. But you have to. You have to adapt.
Yeah.
I want to be understood.
It would be hard for me to live abroad, I think.
I think you would enjoy it. I think you would be there and be like, hey, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's nice people.
Yeah. I guess as long as I lived in one of the English-speaking places, I would be better off. Like, I could do England or Australia or South Africa. I think those are basically the options.
More or less the same people with a slightly different accent.
They're all British people that
we all
went
a
different,
paths. Version of white. Yeah.
Are you British or Dutch?
I would say
you're Portuguese. But
well, my dad is Portuguese, but we were raised, I would say it's very English. I think the culture is still very English. You know, we play cricket. Sunday lunch with lamb, that kind of stuff.
It's just Sunday lunch with
Sunday
lamb.
Lunch, those types of things at grandma's house, I think are pretty normal.
I
like a braai, have you ever heard of a braai?
No, what's that?
It's a barbecue. A braai just means burn.
A braai.
A braai. And so it's like, what do South Africans eat? They just eat a lot of meat, honestly, because it's barbecue all the time.
Sunday afternoon lamb, that's a thing?
If you're in sort of like a British or expat household.
I got it.
I would say. But a lot of people are, if the weather is nice, like it is, because California, at least LA, feels very much like Johannesburg.
Oh, okay.
Very similar. People will be out. When the sun's out, people are out. They want to barbecue, invite some friends over.
Right.
Drink all the beer. Yes.
All the beer.
All of it.
You guys drink American beer? Or do you have your own beer over there?
Well, funny enough, craft beer and American imports have started to make their way over.
Nice.
But there are South African beers. Yes, yes.
I remember watching this movie in high school, The Power of One, I think it was called. And
we had to read that in school for like English.
Really?
Yeah.
The only thing I remember about it was at one point they were all taking a piss on the kid. And they just kept saying, let's piss on the piss cough. And I have, to this day, I have no idea what that means. But that's what I think of, strangely enough. Let's piss on the piss cough. And is that a slur for someone?
I honestly, I cannot even remember, but I would say it's probably a slur. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not nice.
It's got to be.
Yeah. There's so many languages. I mean, there's 11 official languages.
You have 11 official languages.
11 official languages.
See, I love how America just refuses to have an official language, and then we just let our trashy people yell at people for not speaking English. And they're just like, oh, you learn American. And you're like,
well, you could argue that American is different than English. Like, it's own thing.
We are our own dumber version of English.
I don't want to say dumb. You can say there are some, but for sure America's like...
I am willing to say dumb.
Some of the
there's
crazy
dialects.
Intelligent people. Yeah, yeah, dialects are fun, though.
Yeah, there's so many different parts of America where people sound completely different, I guess. It almost seems... it seems like different cultures completely. If you talk to someone from Alabama, then they're not going to sound... obviously the same as someone from New York Chicago or anywhere, really. We were in, I guess it was near like Destin, Florida, which I don't know if you know where that is, but it's on the part of Florida that's actually south of Alabama.
Okay.
They call it the Redneck Riviera.
Got it.
And we went to the grocery store and we asked for something and the guy goes, that's on aisle two on the right side. And I just remember looking over at my wife and just the rage on her face of like, this is how people exist here. This is what they sound like. I'm like, yeah, they're slow and they sound really dumb, but they're super friendly.
Yeah, at least I mean, to your face. Can't beat that.
You can beat it, but it's just a different thing, I guess.
But we would do the same thing. I think when my mom came back, you know, she was just there. She came back and there's certain parts of your home country and anybody's state, we go, they sound
so stupid.
So, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's weird when you hear it.
Yeah. What's the worst part of South Africa in terms of where, like, it's an inside joke in South Africa, like, that's where the trashy people live? Is it parts of a major city or is it like a country?
That's tough. Yeah. I don't know how to answer that question. No, but I mean, like, in Johannesburg, we have, like, downtown LA, like Skid Row. So I'd say don't go there.
Right.
Don't go to Ponte Tower. Don't go to places in deep in Johannesburg where, you know, Nigerian drug lords and all kinds of crazy stuff goes down. No, I would say don't go there, but those people will murder you.
Do you guys, did you get the same offers from Nigerian princes that we get here in the States?
Yes, a couple more zeros, but yeah.
Yeah, a couple more zeros, right, because the money difference. So they're asking for like $1 trillion from
you. Yeah, trillion. I have, my cousin had sent me Zimbabwe dollars.
Oh, I had some before too.
And the numbers are absurd.
Yeah.
It's just like $10 million.
Yeah,
and it's just on one note.
Yeah, I had, I can't remember what it was now. I think it was 100.
She just called it like funny money.
Yeah, I think it was, I think it said $100 million and it had a picture of rocks on it. And I was working as a weed trimmer. I was trimming marijuana. And
fun job.
Yeah, it was all right. When I smoked marijuana, it was really fun. Once I stopped, I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of stoners. They're talking. I'm just like, what happened to my life? But I worked for this one dude, and he was from Santa Monica, but he got into a bunch of trouble, and his family sent him to a boarding school somewhere in Africa.
Okay.
And he spent, like, his high school years there, basically. And now he goes back because he has friends there or whatever it was. But he had a tablet of Zimbabwean dollars. And so when he came time to pay us, he paid us our money, and then he was like, here's a little bonus for you. And he gave me $100 million.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, how much is this worth? And he was like, 40 $4. Cents. Yeah. Yeah, something ridiculous. Something that, it was like less than a dollar. I'm like, why wouldn't you change your system so that you're... How much is that sandwich? $400 million. Genius. Are we going longer or?
Tiana was thinking like 30, which we just hit.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But wrap up as you will.
Yeah, yeah. Mobile bartending for bar mitzvahs. Is that here in the States or is that back in South Africa?
This was back in South Africa. So we work for this company, which is basically doing catering for alcohol.
Okay.
So, and the way the business was is that they had a connection with a liquor distributor so they could get alcohol at a lower price.
Yeah.
And then that would be our supply, but then they would rent out a physical bar plus the bartender and a bar back and all fruit, juice, all that stuff.
Sure.
And help you with the menu, all of this. So it was a really fun college job.
Yeah.
So you get hired, they train you on how to make all these cocktails, and then you're just getting text messages to say, be at this venue at this time, this is how many people, this is your bar setup, da 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 da, da. And you would graduate through the levels. You would trainee, bartender, bar manager, etc.
Right.
It was a ton of fun. I mean, I did a small event. You know, you would get hired to do some girl's birthday party, 21st birthday, and her parents would shell out money to, like, bring a bar, like a fully stocked bar, to her house.
Right.
And do a fun gig like that. And then we did...
These are people who are doing all right at life.
Yeah.
That they're, you know, hiring a full bar to...
Oh, yeah. It would be anywhere from, like, doing that to doing an insurance firm. And they'd, like, launch this insurance firm. And we came and we do the bar. So you go from having probably about this size to having six of them that you have to run. And then we would do giant events. We would do... essentially an airport hangar, and it was a cigarette-sponsored event, but they were not allowed to use the brand name. In any case, they hire us to do the bar, so then you have multiple bars that we could run, and then we would just do that.
It's smart if you're in the cigarette business, you know, get people drunk. That was always the quickest way to get me smoking cigarettes. So they figured it out.
Uh-huh.
What was the cigarette company? Are you allowed to say? I mean,
I'm sure it's fine now. No, it was Camel Cigarettes. Camel. But they called the party Urban Wave, which is a lot of fun. Urban Wave, and it just had the, like, silhouette of a camel. It was Urban Wave. But you could buy cigarettes. They had vending machines for cigarettes everywhere.
Yeah, I find that everywhere. Europe still really loves cigarettes.
They love smoking.
It's out of control where you're just like... And now that I think about it, it makes sense that they love 80s music because...
They're living in a different time.
Yeah.
Oh, some place that when we go to Italy for work, sometimes the internet is just not working.
Yeah.
And you say, this place is so amazing, but is operating not at like the standard you have in the U.S. Because when you arrive here, stuff works.
Kind of, yeah.
Most of the time, stuff is just like working.
Yeah.
You know, no issue.
When I was in London, the first night we checked into our hotel and I was trying to get on the Wi-Fi. And I couldn't get it to work. I had all the instructions. And I'm just like, am I really this dumb? So I went down to the front desk. I'm like, yeah, I can't get the Wi-Fi to work. And in London, I didn't realize this, but basically all of the world is kind of the equivalent of England's Mexico. Like, they just have people from everywhere in the world doing the jobs that the British people don't want to do.
Right.
And so there was some... Eastern European lady working in the front desk. I go, yeah, I can't get the Wi-Fi to work. And she goes, oh, it's probably because somebody is on it. And I just remember looking over at my wife, like, what the fuck is she talking
about? Oh, yeah.
She thinks that Wi-Fi is one person at a time. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe that is how it is in wherever, Yugoslavia or wherever it was she was from. But who knows? All right, so we're going to bring in Sarah, and she's going to ask you some questions as well because I'm a little slow when it comes to things, and she notices things that I won't. So we'll be right back with Sarah, and thanks for being on. Man.
Sure, yeah. Say hi.
We are back, guys. With me, as always, Sarah. It's the same Sarah. We swear to God, this is not a replacement Sarah. All right, it is. It's a different Sarah. How are you, Sarah?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
You are replacing Sarah Tiana. How do you know Sarah?
So I know Sarah. I first met her doing sketch comedy back in the day.
Okay.
With the company that she was on the board of. So I did sketch with her back in the day. We became fast friends. She's one of my best friends to this day. And I would travel with her to all her comedy shows.
Yeah.
When she was still single back in the day. And I was just her little shadow. So we figured, you know, my name used to be Melissa.
Is that true?
No. But we figured, you know.
Okay.
Two Sarahs is much easier.
I was going to say, I don't think I could be friends with another Rick. I just don't think I could do it. I would feel like they were, you know, stepping on my vibe, my Rick vibe.
Yeah.
But, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. Happy to.
I didn't want people to be like, is that the same Sarah? How many Sarahs does this podcast have? We got all the Sarahs on this podcast.
All of them.
Nice.
Did you have any specific questions you wanted to ask Jason?
I did. How many languages do you speak of the 11?
Just the one, actually.
Really?
Just English, yeah. We would have to take Afrikaans in school, and we have to take Zulu in school.
Afrikaans, is that the Dutch?
It's, yeah, like a Dutch
dialect?
Version of Dutch, like an old Dutch, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And some of my family still speak that.
Really?
Yeah. But it's not useful necessarily in the States.
Right.
But I've been on a ski mountain, and then like two guys, and I just, from nowhere, I hear two dudes just yelling something in Afrikaans. I knew exactly what they were talking about.
Wow.
So you understand a lot of it, you just don't speak it yourself.
Yeah, bits and pieces, yeah.
I mean,
we had to learn and talk to your family and stuff. And it's also woven into the culture. So with so many languages, slang gets borrowed from everybody.
Right. It's kind of like Yiddish.
Sometimes. Sometimes, yeah. It's very weird for people to understand. When I first moved here, my stepfather pulled me aside after we were at this dinner, and he said, nobody understands what you're talking about. You have to change the way you speak, because I would use too many slang words or something like that. It just was nonsense.
I was going to ask, you said you kind of like dropped your accent a little so that people could understand you better. What was like the biggest word like that you would say in English, but the accent was too hard for Americans to understand?
It's more specific sounds, meaning in the U.S. you have a hard R. And in English or how we speak in South Africa, it's very soft.
Yeah.
And the same with the A.
What's a soft R sound like?
It's, instead of, I would just say four, like the number four.
Oh, okay.
But in the States, you have to say four.
Four,
and like
yeah.
round it off.
Sure.
Because I would give my phone number, and every time it hit the four.
People would be like,
what?
Is that a Russian?
Exactly. So just certain things in the A, instead of saying dance.
Right.
Or like I would say dance. That's very English to say dance,
yeah.
Can't, barn.
I have a lot of English friends who always say water.
Yeah.
Water, so that you can hear it, because it's harder to hear the way they say it.
Yeah. And vice versa, because I would say water, just water.
It sounds so sweet the way you say water.
Yeah.
Like get this guy the fancy water, because he wants water.
Water, yeah.
He'll order for the table.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there still resentment between the Dutch and the English in terms of like the people, the ancestry?
No, I don't think so. I think the way it was colonized, because this, you know, South Africa was a halfway stop between all the Europeans going to India.
Right.
And before they built the Suez Canal. And I think they just had people stay. So we have a huge multicultural mix of people. There's Greek, there's Lebanese, Portuguese, the Dutch, the English. All these people, I think, stayed. So the culture that you have is sort of like pretty varied.
It's a blend.
Plus you have all the African influence. So all
right.
the 11 different tribes, Khoza, Zulu, Sepedi, all these different things. And I might be saying that some of that incorrectly, but you
no
get a
one,
cool
no
mix.
No one who listens to this podcast would know if you said it wrong. So.
No, you get a cool mix of different things. So some of the food you can get would just be... So we don't have a lot of Italian, but now American brands have started to come over, which is kind of cool. Like we have a Hooters, right? We have a Hooters. We have a Krispy Kreme.
The way he says Hooters sounds pretty awesome. What's
traditional? And it was a big deal when it opened.
It's a big deal whenever Hooters opens anywhere. Do they wear the outfits and all
same,
that? Same thing.
Same.
What's traditional South African food?
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Traditional South African foods, I guess it depends on who you ask, but the most traditional thing is probably biltong, which is kind of like jerky.
I thought that was Korean.
No, biltong, it's usually beef and it's air dried, no sugar, and it's just it's just air dried. So they cover it in a salt, pepper, garlic, coriander, all these things, and they let it hang and it dries out like jerky. But it's not chewy, so you can. That's the most South African thing. That and maybe bunny chow is another.
What's
fun.
Bunny chow?
What's that, bunny chow?
Is that actual bunnies? Please tell me.
No. It's you basically.
I was going to say these savages. Forget about your history, bunny murderers. What's bunny chow?
Bunny chow. So bunny chow, you basically take a loaf of white bread, and you chop the top of it off, and you scoop out all the inside, and you pour curry inside, and you eat it like a sandwich.
So it's like a bread bowl sandwich.
It's like a bread bowl sandwich, yeah.
That's one of the strangest things I've ever heard. And when you say you put curry in it, what are we talking in the curry?
Like a spicy, not too soupy, but it was like a spicy potato lamb kind of curry mix.
Is it more similar to Italian curry? I'm sorry, Indian curry or like Thai curry? Okay.
No. It's very Indian. There's no Google fact check or whatever, but it's probably the largest Indian population outside of India.
Yeah.
Is in South Africa, the South Coast in particular.
You have okay. So there's a large Indian population. Interesting. I guess it makes sense just because of where it was on the traveling the world map for so long. But I never really thought about South Africa having so much diversity.
It's called the Rainbow Nation, or at least like a marketing campaign or branding would say the
That's
Rainbow
what they're
Nation.
Selling it as, yeah.
Yeah, but it's pretty diverse, at least the way I grew up. I mean, like my schools were mixed. I had new people from all over the place, and you would go to different people's houses. I mean, the girl I took to my matric dance, like the prom.
Nice.
Her parents couldn't speak any English. They were like proper Portuguese.
That's nice.
So she had to translate for them, and I would show up to take her out, and then just nothing.
That way they could not tell you any rules.
Nope.
And you were free to just keep her out late and then be like, I honestly didn't know what you said.
Is there a pretty big Jewish population there as well?
Also, yes. Okay. Also, a lot of my, in high school and college, I had some Jewish friends, and they have connections here. So my neighborhood now, I'm sure there's relatives or people that I know back home. I mean, it's a very tight-knit community.
Yeah.
And my friend from college, Bianca, her parents, like they brought everybody over here for a wedding, for someone's wedding. So it is, yeah, there's a big community for sure.
Is there a lot of anti-Semitism there as well? Or
not that I ever saw.
Oh.
No. That's the thing is.
That's nice.
The way that I was raised and the way that I grew up, none of this stuff was like a big deal, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the news will blow it out of proportion. And there is a ton of.
You got to push the outrage as much as possible. So.
But most South Africans I think you'll ever meet are probably pretty nice.
Yeah.
We're just here working.
Right.
You know, there's no like little South Africa, like little Tokyo or whatever. There's no Africa town.
There's it's no little
just, We're just here. We're just
little
here.
Little Johannesburg.
Working. Yeah.
Where did you go to college?
The University of Johannesburg, so UJ. It used to be called Rand Afrikaans University.
Oh, okay. And is that in terms of, is that a good college? Is that like a prestigious?
It's pretty good. We don't have as many. We don't have the Greek life sort of that you guys have here and these huge Ivy League schools. But my school is pretty cool. We have Wits University and University of Cape Town, UCT, Rao, or UJ now. Those are big schools. Those are like the biggest schools in South Africa. But to make the comparison to the States, when you're talking about how big it is, America's massive.
Yeah.
It's huge. And explaining that to other people is sometimes difficult if they've never been here.
Yeah.
So like Texas is giant.
In South Africa, in terms of its physical size, is it comparable to Texas? Is it smaller than that, bigger than that?
I wouldn't know how to answer, no. But it's definitely, it's a much smaller
right
place. I mean, Africa is big, but South Africa is just the little tip edge.
Yeah.
Hmm. Where does a South African go on vacation?
A lot of them go to the Seychelles. The Seychelles, Mauritius, they go to Greece a lot. Because of all the diversity, a lot of those people have family somewhere else.
Back in home country.
So they go to home countries. But the Seychelles is a good one. Mauritius is a good one. Any sort of island destination. But a lot have gone to Europe for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I always envy how, like, once you get to Europe, it's like $200 to go to any other country, mm-hmm. whereas yeah. it's like a grand for us to go
yeah.
anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, and no one wants to go to Canada, so. When you find right. out, like, when they tell you you got to go to Canada to open a store at this mall, how upset do you get at the thought?
I don't spend a lot of time in Canada, so Amen. I would just, it's the same, like, store, hotel, restaurant, back to America.
Yeah. That's
it. And the best part is when you arrive, it's welcome home, which is very nice to hear when you go through customs, like,
yeah.
welcome home.
Do you have that, like, global entry, fast pass kind of thing going on? That's nice. That's always nice.
This guy's balling. I stand in the long line.
No, I don't want to do that at all. It's just like, I'll pay this money, please.
I tell them, ask me as many questions as you want.
Like, I accidentally told them I had seedlings in my bag.
Always a good
plan. Now you're getting searched.
Oh, yeah. And Thailand. A lot of South Africans will go to Thailand.
Yeah.
Mm. Thailand, Bali.
A lot of Israelis do as well. Mm-hmm. They go to Thailand because you can... You basically can live like a king
yeah,
while you're
party
there.
For cheap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for us because from South Africa to Europe is expensive.
Right.
That's a lot of money to spend for somebody. And to come to the States, even more.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
but
crazy.
We, like, bring the tourism. I think people should visit. Cape Town is amazing. Cape Town is amazing.
What do you do when you're there? Just party?
No, I mean, you have Table Mountains. You can hike. You can go and... see a festival or Kirstenbosch Garden. You can go and see the waterfront. You can, there's a ton of stuff to do.
Right.
It's a very modern city. Cape Town is a very modern city.
And do you live in LA now?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you lived in LA?
I moved here just before we locked down. So this was like, what? I moved September 2019, I want to say, around that time.
Where did you live in America before?
New York.
New York.
Virginia. Washington, D.C. New Jersey.
Wow.
So I've been everywhere.
They had you East Coasting, basically.
Uh-huh.
And then they said, hey, we're getting ready to close the world.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well go to a nice...
I was so happy it happened. I was so happy that I got this job and was able to relocate.
Yeah.
Travel. Wasn't back in L.A. for more than 4 days. And then the whole world was like...
Really?
Yeah. So I just arrived and everything shut down.
Do you have a friend group out here that you at least could
I don't know
on?
A ton of people, no. It's a ton of work associates. So, I mean, this is fun to talk to somebody that's not a colleague.
We have no knowledge of the work you do.
Nope.
I can't give you any advice.
Nope.
So what happens? And you move out here and the world basically starts shutting down. Are they still sending you to malls to set stuff
no,
up?
No, then everything was shut down. So we were just trying to find something to... keep us busy because yeah. thank God, I mean, they kept everybody employed. So
right. Oh, that's
it's still
nice.
A cool company to work for.
Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing company.
Just practicing like putting sweaters on mannequins
yeah,
all
yeah.
day.
No, we would just do training.
Sent them mannequins at home. Keep your skill set.
Yep. It was so difficult to keep people enthusiastic. Like when you get back to the store, you're yeah. just you're trying to train. And so it was a bunch of Zoom calls, which was really boring.
Yeah.
But then things started to open up, and it was as soon as I got a little bit of space to move,
yeah.
we would start to visit places and do things. And you can't fly. I'll drive. So I drove to Walnut Creek, which is like way up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I drove to Vegas.
Nice.
I did those stores.
I'm a giant fan of driving if I'm not stuck in traffic.
No, traffic is
so it's
horrible.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like there was a time when I was very unsuccessful at comedy still, where I had a job as a driver for a company, and I just drove packages around LA, and so I would be in my car for like 8 to 10 hours a day and not really travel that far a lot of times. Like I would spend 2 hours driving from like Santa Monica to Burbank
yeah.
in the middle of the, like later afternoon or whatever it was, and then just be like, I can't believe how little
I went nowhere.
I traveled for how long I've been driving today.
What were you delivering, if you can say?
It was tapes, and it was a post-production house. So it was a different one than the one I was talking about earlier, but it was TV commercials, like final edits of TV commercials and stuff like that.
Get these over to the network kind of thing. Yeah.
Take it over to their offices. And.
But you have to drive in L.A. In New York, you would just call a messenger and some insane...
Well, that was him.
Some insane person would come and collect the, you know, mail at the store and, or the office and get on the bike and run it somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So are you married, girlfriend, do you have kids?
None of the above.
Are you in the dating scene in Los Angeles?
Not as much as... No, not really.
Okay.
By choice?
Yeah.
You just don't want to deal with Los Angeles women?
I could do that, but at the moment, everything has just been like very easygoing.
Right. So
you're not looking for... very low-key with all of that.
Yeah.
Dating in L.A. is a really special situation. I did not date a lot. And my first time going out with a girl in L.A., I met a girl at the Comedy Store, and she saw me perform, and then she started talking to me, and she was like...
I was
like,
going to say, isn't that a rule not to do that?
Probably.
Okay, go.
But, yeah, I was just like, hey, some girl's talking to me. This is great.
Go for it.
And so we decided to go out. You know, I asked her out. She said, yeah. And so I took her out, and she was nice, but it was like she was from Chicago, and it was there was just something weird in general. I'm just like, there's something odd about her. And then she was like, hey, we should go back to my place and watch a movie. And I'm like, I think I know what that means. This is like a code, right? And so we go back to her place, and she goes, hey, I wanted to show you something. I knew you would like it. And I'm like, okay. And then she came back with a giant binder. And I'm like, well, this is weird. Is she showing me like a photo album? And then she was like, something I do for fun is I have developed relationships with murderers on death row. And I was literally just like, had that moment where I'm like, what? And then she writes letters basically flirting with these people who are on death row.
Like what you saw in the documentaries or whatever, the Hillside Strangler, and like women are so obsessed with them, they're writing
they
in.
They end up in these relationships with these women who are writing in, yeah.
Yeah, like there was a lady who was basically, it was like Charles Manson's, I think they got married before he died, but you're just like,
why?
You know this guy is responsible for murdering a bunch of people, but you're like, he's really interesting, and people don't really understand him.
I guess.
So I started reading. I made through like four of these letters, and I'm just like reading it, and it's like her saying just these incredibly sexual things, and then they're responding just like, cool. Well, when I get out, we're definitely going to have to do that. I'm like, this person... I'm asking her as we get through, like, well, what did this person do? Well, he was accused of. That's what she kept saying. I'm like,
he was found guilty. Yeah.
He murdered eight people.
Yes.
Three of them were children.
Oh.
She's, yeah, but you know what? He has a really sensitive side in his heart. I'm like, okay. So I made it through a few of the letters. So I'm just like, God, you know what? I got to get out of here. She's like, you should stay. I'm like, no, I think I'm good.
She's like, we can get into some shit tonight.
Yeah, I'm like,
but have you ever been on a date where you just had to leave?
I mean, that was it for me. And then I just didn't go out on a date again for like 3 years. Because I'm like, that's what women in L.A. are like. They all are writing letters to serial killers. That's how it is.
Either that or there's like a scene, there's like a whole scene, I guess, that people want to be a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good tips and tricks for like getting out of it, right? Like you do an early happy hour, and then if it's not going well, oh, you know, I have dinner on the other side of town in half an hour, but thank you for beating me. Sometimes it's pretty painful, yeah.
I would imagine for women it's way worse.
It must be.
Just in terms of
people like, I don't want to die, hope he's nice,
yeah.
Please don't be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bar has got to be so low.
Like, I always try to. There's this thing for women, like, when a guy doesn't pay for your drink on a first date, it just feels icky for most women, right? Like, it just feels like, oh, and then there's a lot of anxiety for us about it, right? Like, oh, it shouldn't. Do I need to offer? Oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to pay? So, like, my move, especially with online dating, was always like, I'm going to get there 15 minutes early. I'm going to buy my own drink. so I don't have to wonder.
Tab, you have the tab.
I'll
on
interview
the side.
Them basically to see if it's worth another date.
Right.
And then there was a date where I was running late, and the guy's like, "I'm at the bar. Can I get you something?" And I was like, "I'm gonna order when I get there because now I'm just thinking about roofies because that is something."
Oh, yeah.
Women have to think about. Yeah,
yeah, I didn't think about it. No one's ever tried to roofie me.
No, because we don't ever think about that, ever. Yeah. You just leave your house like nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is the privilege I think we have.
It is. It's definitely a privilege for a man. I mean, the girl I went out with was probably a serial killer based on her
you
interests.
You got out. You survived.
But at no point did I feel like, oh, my God, I'm in this horrible situation. I feel like if I was a woman and I...
Yeah.
I went,
she's screenshotting.
That would feel very scary.
This is
woman.
My lift. This is where I'm at. Please help me if
like,
anything goes wrong.
This guy's going to kill me. Yeah. This guy's going to kill me.
He's really into murder. That's cool.
How did she have her own letters?
20. Oh, okay. She made copies of everything.
Oh, she made, wow.
So like she would write, handwrite
so
a letter.
So this is like she's collecting.
Yeah.
Trying to that's like, how, like do something
I,
with
this
it.
This was probably 15 or 16 years ago. So like I kept thinking like someday she's going to write a book and it's going to be published. I'm going to be like, oh, this is that chick. But I never heard from her or heard
You've been
her name
cruising
again.
The New York Times bestselling
list. Every once in a while,
yet.
I'll just Google crazy murder lady and... Nothing's popped up.
That would be such a good book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, not starting a relationship with her.
Right.
It does seem interesting.
No. Yes.
Where you're like, okay, that's kind of weird, but.
She's either the world's most compassionate person or there's a few screws loose.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I first arrived here and I did the apps and I met a girl that I had already matched with in New York. So it was a really easy in.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And we just went out and had a lot of fun and then that kind of died. And it's been sort of very much like that since I've been here, but I don't venture out a lot.
Now, when you say it kind of died, you mean you murdered her? All right.
I'm sure there's a letter somewhere. About
somewhere.
That.
We'll find out. He's like, are we talking about the same girl?
I'm just here to start the cycle again. I'll be the one writing prison letters when I get out.
I love the idea of someone being on death row and being like, I should keep her hope alive. We'll definitely do that when I get out of here.
My girlfriend's going to be so bummed.
Dude, she's going to be pissed.
I wonder if you could request to have your last meal with someone.
Is it possible?
Like it's a first date?
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's a nice
the last first date?
Right.
The last first date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
What do you want for your last meal? Anything with Jennifer. I'm sorry? She's my girlfriend. We've been together. We've been going steady for a while now.
I think it's going to work out.
Yeah. It's true love.
I feel good about this one.
She's going to be there at my execution tomorrow.
She said she'll have a yellow rose on her lapel. Not that women wear lapels these days, I guess.
Listen, we're old-timey with our fantasies.
I went very Mad Men with that.
Yeah. We like to keep things in a retro era.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, is there? Do you have social media or anything you want to promote? Is there?
I don't really want to promote anything.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty like low key.
Sure.
But, you know, I might. We can do that afterwards, I guess, if you want to tag me in the video.
Cool.
But I don't really put any content out. I don't do any.
You're trying to stay under the radar.
I'm just sort of trying to live, and I
cool
thought this would
South
be a
African
lot of fun.
Guy.
You were the first person I saw here at the Comedy Store. Actually.
Really?
I came here with a friend, Austin, and we just wanted to see the show, and it was like a crazy lineup. It was Annie Letterman and Joe Rogan and Owen Wilson, Brian Simpson. You were here, and Julia, I think. I forget her last name. But she's
Rosie, Julia Rosie.
Yes, I want to say she's always dressed.
Yeah.
Dark black hair.
Yeah, that's Julia.
But it was a wild experience because the dude in the line sort of looked like a bald headed mafia guy, had some hooker with him, was super coked out, and he was crazy aggressive. But he sort of like came in here like he had never been to a comedy show before.
Right.
I won VIP. And then when he got in, he didn't want to share the table, and we were supposed to be seated
bottle
with him.
Service, of course. So.
He wanted all of that. He didn't know, and she was on her phone. Miss, you can't be on your phone.
Yeah.
And it just escalated and escalated and escalated.
That sounds like
and
real Comedy Store shit.
Every security person you had was, sir,
I love that.
You need to leave. And she, huh? The girl was nowhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that was a good time. I just arrived in L.A. Let me check it out.
You should have defended her. Guys, she is a hooker. She is trying to make her next mark.
To be fair, I don't really know what their relationship was, but it didn't look like they knew one another.
She was 100% a call girl. You're not wrong on that. I've seen it happen lots of times here. Quentin Tarantino was here once, and he was with some...
I'm sure this place was wild.
Some Canadian chick, and I kept making fun of Canada. And then at some point, I go, Canadian chick, what
What's
do you do?
And
she
Canada?
Goes, I go out on dates. I was like, brilliant.
Sure.
Brilliant. I am a prostitute, goddammit. A Canadian hooker? The worst thing I ever heard in my life.
I mean, they're really nice, I hear.
The Canadians or the hookers?
Well, I assume the hookers are nice.
Well, both, but
nice.
I imagine a Canadian would just pay. Be just sorry a lot.
Yeah, so sorry. A lot of sorry. Sorry
I'll
about
clean
that.
That up.
Yeah. Just quit apologizing, Canadian hookers, okay?
Take the money.
All right.
Give you more money if you stop apologizing.
Stop
yeah.
it,
please.
No more apologies. Act like an American prostitute and be rude, please.
She was doing her best.
Yeah, she
Maybe
was.
Maybe that was the Canadian girl. She just took notes.
It could be.
The one who was with the coked out guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on, but it was a fun experience to come for the first time. I'm like, oh, shit. This is what this place is like.
Hijinks is always ensuing around here.
Yeah.
That's what hooked me on the Comedy Store when I first came here was.
And he missed the whole show in the first place. So like,
yeah.
This is a...
It happens a lot. There's a lot of people where you're just like, why are you even here? Elon Musk came to the Comedy Store. And he sat in the corner with his entourage, and he just talked for an
business.
Hour and a half to the people he was with. I'm like, you are not at a bar. He was here to see Rogan, and so he basically just talked through the show until Joe went on, and then he was a perfect audience member, seemed to really enjoy it. And then I was next. I went up after Joe, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to really fucking give this guy the business if he starts talking during my set, you know, because he's like one of the richest dudes in the world. When are you ever going to have a chance to tell this guy to go fuck himself? And then as soon as Joe got off, he just got up and left. And I was so mad. I'm like, God damn it. That was going to be my moment. I was going to take down a billionaire. I was going to negotiate $10 million and I'll stop picking on you.
You'd probably be like, all right.
Yeah, you know what? He literally takes it out in cash and throws it at me. All right,
be funny, clown.
Thank you for being on, Jason.
No, my
I appreciate
pleasure.
It,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
I answered everything and didn't go too far over time.
No, it was great, man. We appreciate it.
I hope I don't get fired.
Listen, I guarantee that whoever you work for does not listen to this podcast.
No, they won't see it.
It's pretty safe
they won't see it. And if you work for a crazy chick from Chicago that knows murderers, then I apologize because I probably ruined your job. But all right. Well, thank you for listening, Sarah. Thank you for filling in for the other Sarah.
Absolutely.
Pretty solid.
Thank you. Thank you.
All the way around. And
to both Sarahs, thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Did you get this gig as a person on the podcast through the other Sarah?
No. I just she had put on her stories, we're looking for guests.
Right.
So the first time I sent that because I thought it was funny and maybe they'll read it. And then somebody read it. So that is rare, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because I've sent a lot of like terrible DMs to people.
I love that.
Regretted them the next day. And like, I'm sorry. If you've got one, I'm sorry. But it's like somebody answered.
I mean, that's what we should have talked about.
I
didn't
know
this guy was sliding into DMs.
Yeah, you read them and say, it's like, delete Instagram right away.
Delete Instagram.
Just delete it all.
Start a new profile.
Start again.
He just always has one post.
Smart.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't post a lot.
Yeah.
Every 3 days.
I responded, and they responded, and I followed her from when I saw her on David Spade's show, the couch show that they had, which I really liked, actually.
Lights Out.
I wish it would come back.
Yeah.
Lights Out was so fun.
Yeah, that was the first show to put me on TV, so I thought they were great as well.
I don't know why it's not still happening. I thought it was amazing.
I honestly think that show would probably still exist if COVID hadn't made it so that they couldn't do live shows. And I think they just they didn't want to put the money into... doing Zoom Lights Out.
No.
Yeah.
But if it ever came back, like I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was awesome.
It was so fun.
I enjoyed it. It was a fun show to do too. You would show up and
not everybody was a comedian, but they were funny.
Yeah.
Or they would make fun of him you know, when Norm was on.
Right.
I was like, this is like Davey, calling him Davey.
Yeah.
I just thought it just like was such a fun show.
And then
it just went away.
Yeah. The SNL people episodes were great because there was so much basically just like inside jokes between them. The one where he had Norm and Dennis Miller and Kevin Nealon on was great. The amount of jokes
those are like uncles to him in some weird way.
The amount of jokes they made that you're like, there's no way anyone understands what they're talking about other than them.
It's all inside jokes.
Which makes me happy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. We appreciate it, man.
All right. My pleasure. Sir. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Excellent. Keep listening, guys. Rate. Is that what I say?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how this works. You tell them to listen, but they're already listening. You know what to do.
Follow us
at home.
On Instagram.
Yeah, that's
at Ingram Pod.
Yep.
If you have interesting friends or you're interesting yourself, please DM us. We'd love to talk to you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter. Special thanks to The Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.